Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. John Osterlin here with you. I love Raising Cane's. I think their chicken fingers are fantastic.
Yeah, you just found out about Raising Cane's this year, didn't you?
Yeah, I was never the biggest Raising Cane's person. I mean, I love Popeyes. I love KFC before Popeyes. But I never really had a Raising Cane's right around me. But I do now. And over the last year or so, there's a Raising Cane's that I can walk to here in New Orleans from where I live, and I absolutely love it. Chicken. Although there's been a problem because of the pandemic, my Raising Cane's here in New Orleans, their dining room is closed. They're only open for drive-through. And you know, I've been in between cars for a while, and you can't walk through a drive-through, so it kind of stinks, and I haven't had Raising Cane's in a while. But they're making news, and that's why I brought them up this morning. And by the way, you know Raising Cane's, they're local. They're based out of Baton Rouge. Two guys started Raising Cane's. They own the company, and one of them is an LSU graduate. Well, the reason I brought up Raising Cane's this morning, well, besides complaining that I haven't had it in a while because of this damn pandemic, and I wish they'd open their dining room, but I know they don't want to deal with having their employees have to check everybody who walks in there, check and make sure they've gotten vaccinated, their vaccine card, or check to see if they've tested negative for COVID in the last 3 days. So instead of dealing with all of that, they're doing what some other restaurants are doing, just closing their dining rooms and having people use their drive-through that's it. But the reason I brought up Raising Cane's this morning is because they're making news all over the country. Because they, like a lot of other businesses, they're having a tough time finding workers. As we're over a year and a half into the pandemic now. And the reason why Raising Cane's and so many other businesses are having a tough time finding workers is because of the extra free money that Americans were getting through the extra unemployment, the COVID payouts. And there's a bunch of people who were making more money collecting unemployment than they were making at their jobs. So that's why there are, and by the way, all of that has ended. And we should start seeing these businesses fill up again with employees. But that's why there are so many businesses that are short-staffed right now. Well, Raising Cane's, they're so short-staffed that they're taking people from their corporate office, from their corporate headquarters, and they're sending them to their restaurants to work. Senior vice presidents are being sent to Raising Cane's restaurants to fry the chicken, to cook the chicken, to fry the french fries, to mix the coleslaw, and to make the Texas toast. Those are the things that Raising Cane's serves. And Raising Cane's has over 500 restaurants across the country. Many of them are short-staffed, so they're taking these executives and they're sending them out to their restaurants to work. I mean, clean the bathrooms and things like that.
Well, that's admirable when you think about it. That means they're willing to get their hands dirty. Plus, I'm assuming like most franchises, the people at the top started at the bottom. So it's not like they don't know what they're doing. You know, most when you hear about people who become managers of fast food restaurants, they tell you, well, you know, I started out as a janitor. I started out making the fries. So I'm guessing these people who's going to the Raising Cane's do have some Raising Cane's experience.
Hey, Coleman, you started out here at Bayou 95.7 cleaning the bathrooms.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, it works out that way in business. Well, Raising Cane's, they're sending senior vice presidents and other upper echelon employees in their corporate office out to the restaurants to work. And Raising Cane's, their goal is to hire 10,000 workers over the next 50 days.
They're going to have to lower their standards a bit if they're trying to find 10,000 people in the next, 50 days?
50 days.
Huh.
And, you know, if you know anything about the two guys who started Raising Cane's, good guys, like I said, one of them's an LSU graduate. You think, and they've had a lot of success. I think they've been open about 25 years. They've had a lot of success. You know it's a good company because they have a fine product, which I've been missing. Damn it. And I'm jonesing for it right now, actually.
Chicken!
Again, they are in need of employees, so this is what they're doing.
Okay. I mean, after the show, we could go fill out some applications if you want to help out, John.
Raising Cane's, again, their headquarters is in Baton Rouge. They've got 40,000 workers. They're looking for another 50,000.
And you've owned your own restaurant once in your life, didn't you?
I did for a couple of years. I owned a bar and a restaurant in Miami Beach.
Yeah, so you have some experience. You should mention that on your application later on today when we go to Raising Cane's.
So what do you think? When the show's over, I should go work the lunch crowd over at Raising Cane's?
Why not? See, that way, it's a two-parter. Like, right now, you can't get Raising Cane's because you're in between cars and only their dining room is open, right?
But if I was working
there. Yeah, if you were working there, you have access to all the chicken fingers, all the Texas toast. You can make it yourself. You can make it just how you like it. So you kill two birds with one stone. And then on top of that, you make some extra cash.
Well, the reason why Raising Cane's is looking for so many employees is the same reason that so many other businesses are looking. Fears over the Delta variant of the coronavirus, as well as fair wage debates, have left the service industry in a severe labor shortage. And well, now you know, Raising Cane's, they're looking to hire another. They're looking to hire another 10,000 workers over the next 50 days to add to their 40,000 workers that they have at their over 500 restaurants. You like Raising Cane's, don't you, Coleman?
Yeah, and I'm down for some moonlighting. Why not? I'll go.
So you think both of us should go?
Yeah. I mean, we both need extra money. You love Raising Cane's. I think this is a win-win.
Yeah, I mean, wow, that's something. Maybe I'll think about that, filling out an application for Raising Cane's. But I just thought it was wild how they're sending their corporate staff, senior vice presidents, and others to their restaurants all over the place to do the work that the daily workers do in the Raising Cane's. All right, coming up on the show this morning, we got a bunch of stuff that I wanna talk about. Did you see what happened at Covington High School? It made national news. That 18-year-old Covington High School senior who got arrested for beating her 64-year-old female disabled teacher. And they're thinking it was part of the latest TikTok challenge. But I thought that was only they were supposed to slap a teacher. This and by the way, more than this woman, more than this 18-year-old senior was involved, because there was someone, at least one person, sitting there video recording this incident, waiting for it to happen. Like, they knew that this was going to happen. That's why they were video recording the incident. So when they find out that there were others involved in this, there should be more arrests. But what happened in Covington High School, have you seen the video? It's unbelievable that an 18-year-old high school senior could do this to a 64-year-old female disabled teacher. We're gonna get the latest on that. Also, the Halloween is coming up soon. One of the most popular costumes this year is the Karen costume. You know, dressing up like the like Karen. With the wild Karen hairdo. Some people are upset about that because they're saying Karens are racist, and anybody who dresses as a Karen, it's almost like they're showing gratitude towards racists, and any business who's selling Karen Halloween costumes are profiting off of racism. That's what some people that are unhappy with the Karen Halloween costume are saying. We got a lot to talk about on the show this morning. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. October is Blindness Awareness Month. Obviously, it would suck to be blind, especially in the United States when the first line of our national anthem is, "Oh, say, can you see?" Coming up on the show, is the Karen Halloween costume, are companies making that costume and that are selling it and making money off it? Are they making money off of racism? Some people are saying that, and they're not happy with the Karen Halloween costume. We got a lot to get to on the show this morning. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. John Osterlund here. And tonight, and all through next weekend, this weekend through next weekend, it's the very first annual NOLA by NOLA Music Festival. We mentioned this on the show the other day. They're hoping that this is going to be like South by Southwest in Austin, Texas, which is a great yearly music festival that they have there. NOLA by NOLA, the idea of this came from a local business, New Orleans and Company. They said, how could we help out the clubs, the bars, the live music venues in New Orleans, and how could we help out the musicians in New Orleans who have been having such a tough time over the last over a year and a half now because of the damn pandemic? And then when Jazz Fest was canceled again, and they rescheduled it for the fall, and then they canceled it again, some powers that be, again, this company, New Orleans and Company is the name of the business, they said, what could we do? They thought about South by Southwest in Austin, and they said, this could be great around New Orleans. Lord knows we have enough bands. We have enough live venues. So tonight, it really gets going. NOLA by NOLA. Going to be over 200 shows in 9, 10 days, nights. And it's going to be at, the shows are going to be at some of the coolest places to see shows in New Orleans. Tipitina's, Howlin' Wolf, Preservation Hall.
Yeah, somebody says it's going to be like a music treasure hunt or a band treasure hunt. You need to figure out which venues you want to go to see which bands.
Well, tonight it really gets going. And that means this weekend in the city, there's lots to do. Although, if you want to go see any of these shows at any of these bars, any of these clubs, you got to wear a mask when you go in. And you have to show them your vaccination card or show them paperwork that says that you've tested negative for COVID in the past 72 hours. I know that sucks, but look at the alternative right now. I know that sucks, but look where we were a few months ago. Look where we were 6 months ago. Look where we were a year ago, a year and a half ago. We couldn't even go out to bars and clubs to see live music.
Now, one of the things I was confused about, I thought that since this was all under one promotion, that you can probably get one ticket and then just go to any club you want and show like a wristband or something like that. Say, hey, I bought this NOLA by NOLA wristband. And you can go to like Tipitina's and you can go to Howlin' Wolf and just walk in and say, look, I bought it all, like the wristband, but it doesn't work that way, does it?
Not this year. You know, maybe, and they're hoping, Coleman, that this becomes an annual festival, a 10-day festival here in New Orleans. That's what they're hoping. And maybe in the future, that would be cool if you could spend like, I don't know, $100 and get a bracelet, and that would get you into any of the 200 shows that you wanted to go see over the course of 10 days. That would be cool. But for this year, NOLA by NOLA, the very first annual, is that something, the first annual? The first annual NOLA by NOLA, you buy tickets to the show that you want to see because, again, because of the last year and a half with the damn pandemic, they're trying to help out the clubs and the local musicians who haven't been able to make much, if any, money in the last year and a half.
All right. So I'm guessing maybe it works like there's a bunch of bands that you can see online and you can just go down and click which ones you want to see and buy one ticket for all of them. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out it's new. So the concept to me is new. I've never been to South by Southwest. I don't know how this goes. So I'm trying to picture how it all works. So
no, Coleman, it's just like there's a bunch of bars and clubs in New Orleans involved in this. And you can go to their website, NOLA by NOLA.com, although that's NOLA X NOLA. com, and you could see the schedules and the lineup, and we should get that link on our website as well. And then you see who's playing where, when, and then you could either buy tickets online or you could just go to the club, go to the show, and buy tickets there when you get there.
Okay.
That's how it works. Again, the business that really got this going is a company called New Orleans & Company. Their CEO, his name is Stephen Perry, and he said, quote, we started brainstorming, how do we keep the shows going? How do we keep the musicians playing? How do we keep the clubs going? The idea was we're going to create the first major club-based music festival in United States history. See, even though South by Southwest happens in Austin, It's not all club-based, because they have national acts at that who get on big stages at huge venues. This would be like the, like Stephen Perry just said, this would be the first major club-based music festival in United States history. And it's great for the businesses, it's the clubs, the bars. It's great for the bands, the local bands, because again, they're going to have a chance to make some money for the first time in a long time, over a year and a half.
This text says the word you're looking for is inaugural, not first annual.
Well, thank you, Texter. This is the inaugural NOLA by NOLA. It really gets going tonight. 10 days of live local music in a bunch of local clubs and bars around the city of New Orleans. And I think it's great. And I'm going to, I don't know which one I'm going to go see, but I'm going to go, I'm planning tonight on hitting one of these and tomorrow night as well. I want to support the local clubs, the local bars, the local businesses, and I want to support the local bands. And if you do too, go to their website, NOLAXNOLA.com, and they have, and we're going to get a link for that up on our website as well. And they will have, show you all the bands playing in all the clubs, and then you could pick out which bands you want to see in which clubs. I think this is something really cool. And this is one of those deals where life handed us lemons, and some people are making lemonade, and now we can go enjoy that lemonade in the form of hearing some awesome live music from the great musicians that make up the New Orleans music scene. I think that's awesome. All right, coming up next, we've got the Big O. And hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, J.O., here with you. If you're just joining us, we were talking about how tonight the NOLA by NOLA really gets going. And they're having over a 10-day period. It's a club festival of New Orleans bands, be over 200 performances, a bunch of bars, a bunch of clubs, and it's to help the bars and the clubs. It's to help the local musicians make money, make a few bucks, because for the last over a year and a half now, they haven't been able to because of the damn pandemic. And it really gets going tonight at really cool places too, like Tipitina's, Howlin' Wolf, Preservation Hall. There's a bunch of really cool venues, and if you wanna have a good time by going to see one of these shows or two of these shows, and help support the locals here, you should get out and go do it. And we've got it for you. Who's playing where, and what's going on? We've got that on our website at bayou957.com. When you go there, click on the NOLA by NOLA box there, and you'll see what bands are playing, where they're playing, when they're playing. Again, this is the inaugural, the very first, and hopefully it'll be the first of many NOLA by NOLAs. You've heard of South by Southwest in Austin, Texas. The difference here is this is all bars and clubs with New Orleans musicians, New Orleans bands, the New Orleans sound. And hopefully this is the first year of many. And I think it's really cool. And go check it out. And if you're looking to get out, and it goes through next weekend, if you want to get out this weekend or during next week or next weekend, go to our website, bayou957.com. click on the NOLA by NOLA box, and then you'll see who's playing, where, and when. I just think it's cool that a bunch of people got together to try to help out a bunch of people around here. Since it's a few minutes after 7, it's time for this morning's Big O. Well, Halloween is coming up, and the Karen Halloween costume is being slammed for profiting from racism. Not long ago, there was a woman who was shopping, looking at Halloween costumes, and she found a Halloween, there's something in the Halloween costume section called the Karen wig. And she took a picture of it, and she put it on Twitter, and she said, wow, this is disturbing. I can't believe a business is profiting off racism. Because we all know what a Karen is. A Karen is a white woman with that crazy haircut, or something close to that, who always wants to speak to managers, and who a lot of people say is racist towards black people. That's what a Karen is. And the Karen haircut, I think, was made famous by that reality television show star Kate Gosselin. In that show, she's got all the kids. You know, Kate plus 8, and you remember all of that. And it's that weird looking haircut. It's the reverse mullet, it's also been called, because it's long in the front but short in the back. Well, evidently, that's a popular Halloween costume this year, to dress as a Karen. And I guess you'd walk around just yelling at people and asking people if they want to see, asking to see their managers. It's the Karen costume. There are a lot of people upset that this Karen wig, the reverse mullet wig, is being sold for $19.99. And there are a bunch of people on social media who think that it's racist that a company is making a profit off of Karen because Karen is looked at as racist.
I don't see Karens as racist. I think they complain about everything. I think they complain that when they want to see the manager, it isn't because of racism. They're just upset. I think Karens just want things to go their way. So I don't see Karens acting like Karens being racist. Karens are just Karens no matter what.
Well, no.
Men could be Karens. Could be seeing men complain about stuff. And I look at a Karen as somebody just complains about stuff that you shouldn't complain about. First world problems.
That's true. What you just said is true. But one of the things Karen is also known for is calling the cops on black people.
Yeah, but they call the cops on everybody. That's the point. They do.
They do. They call the cops on everybody.
That's the point. It would be one thing if Karen's only called the cops on black people, but they don't. They call the cops on everyone. They call the cops on their neighbors for having ticker flags hanging up on it. Like, it doesn't matter. If it bothers them, they will call the police no matter what race you are, what gender you are, what your sexual orientation is. If they don't like it, they're going to call and complain to somebody. So I don't see the Karen thing as being racist. But the thing is, let's say you don't go buy the Karen wig. What if you go to an actual hair salon and purposely get the Karen haircut? Is the salon now profiting off racism? Like, I don't get what their whole plot is. And the trip part about it is the Karens are known for complaining, right?
Yeah.
So now you got people complaining about the Karen costume. So are the people complaining Karens? Like, are there Karens for complaining about the Karen costume? This is mind blowing.
Yeah, and you could only give a name like this to someone who's white, because you couldn't pick a name and say, well, if a black woman acted like this, we will call her a LaQuisha. You couldn't do that. That would be racist.
No, if a black person acted like that, we'll call it Karen.
Yeah, if a Latin woman acted like that, you know what I mean? You couldn't pick a name for another type of woman except for a white woman. That's the that's that. So if you're listening, do you have a problem with the Karen wig?
Karens do.
Yeah, if you're a Karen, are you upset about this? You could text us as well. If you are a Karen, a white woman who complains about a lot of things and bitches about a lot of things, and you have a similar funky haircut, the reverse mullet, it's long in the front and it's short in the back. Do you have a problem with this? Or if you're listening, do you think the company who's selling the Karen wig is wrong for making a profit off of racism? And again, like Coleman said, Karens complain about everything. It's not just black people. And yeah, they complain about black people, but they complain about everything. That's why I don't have an issue with any of this. This is a free market capitalistic society. If someone wanted to take a reverse mullet wig, a Karen wig, and put it in a bag and sell it for $19.99 because the Karen Halloween costume would be very popular this year. Isn't that what capitalism is about?
There's going to be some Karen out there just being herself, not even knowing it's a Halloween costume. And people are going to say, oh, you dress up like Karen for Halloween. And they're going to be perplexed because that's just how they naturally look every day. So they know they're not wearing a Karen costume. That's just how they look. They're going to be so confused on Halloween because everybody's going to think they're wearing a costume.
Text us at 504-260-9595. Keep your text short. One or two sentences. And if it's good, we'll read it coming up next on the show. I mean, do you think it's racist that someone is selling the Karen wig so people can dress up like Karen, which evidently is a very popular Halloween costume this year? Let us know with your text, and please never text while you're driving. It's this morning's Big O. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Microwave oven designer Robert Schiffman just died at the age of 86 after a long battle with a cold center. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlin with you. If you're just joining us, this morning's Big O segment is about how some people are upset that there's a business selling Karen wigs for Halloween costumes. And you know what Karen is? That's the white woman with the strange haircut, the reverse mullet, where it's long in the front and short in the back, who yells at everybody and asks to see managers. Yeah, she yells at black people, but she yells at everybody. That's the Karen. That's the white woman who does that.
Yeah, like she complains about women at beaches who wear thongs. Like, you shouldn't, my children can see you and all this. It's not just black people. They complain about everything they don't like.
But this one woman was shopping for Halloween where she was somewhere where they were selling Halloween costumes. And she saw the Karen wig being sold for $19.99. And she took a picture of it, put it on her social media, and she said, I can't. And there was some people who responded to that. They said, it's wrong that this business is profiting from racism. And again, Karen yells at everybody. Evidently, Karen is a very popular Halloween costume for this year's Halloween, which is coming up pretty soon. And so I asked you, and look, I think this whole thing is ridiculous. I mean, if you want to dress up like a Karen, fine. I mean, Karen's been making the news, and she yells at everybody, not just black people. you whatever. If you and if a company wants to, in a capitalistic society that we are here in the United States, if they want to try to make a few bucks off the Karen wig, the reverse mullet, put it in a sack and sell it for $19.99, if isn't that what capitalism is all about? Because of social media, because of Twitter and Facebook, somebody gets upset about something, and there they find as many people as they possibly can to get upset with them, because it's right in front of them on a social media page, and there are a bunch of people who got upset about this, and I asked you to text us your thoughts on this. Do you think that this Karen wig makes the company who's making it and putting it out there and selling it, makes them profit from racism?
Tony says, people need to stop getting butthurt over every little thing.
Tony's right about that.
Antoine says, no problem with the wig. And Coleman is dead right about Karen's not being racist. They yell at everybody.
What's up, Antoine?
Casey says, equal opportunity Karens. Okay. Kathy says, my daughter calls me Karen. Oh, I'm sorry, Kathy. Yeah, Mom, I'm being a Karen. Kathy's being called a Karen by her daughter.
You know, my mom is gone. She's been gone for a while. She died young. But I think back in the day, and it was long before Karens, but I think if they had Karens back in the day, I think my mother would have fallen into a Karen category. Because she always had a wild haircut that was kind of, not like this. But and she yelled at people. So I think my mother would have been a Karen back in the day if they had them.
Redbird said, so a Karen is complaining about the Karen costume. Yeah, we've come full circle.
Hey, how about that?
This text says, what about the women who are actually named Karen? We're so over this. You know, that texter didn't leave a name, but I think I have an idea what that texter's name is. Mike T said, I wish I had hair.
Hey, for $19.99, you could be Karen.
This text says, I have an aunt named Karen, and she fits the profile of a Karen perfectly. And I never did like her. Wow.
So I guess they got the name right then, as far as that texter is concerned.
This text says, the lady complaining was probably a Karen. That's why she got offended. This text says, I'm a man, and I get angry, and I complain about things a lot. But not because I'm a Karen, just because I'm an a-hole. Thanks for being honest.
Hey, at least you're self-aware. You know, we all have to know who we are and what we are. Look, we always appreciate your texts. Not just during the Big O segment. If you feel like texting us about anything during any part of our show, we invite you to do that. And we always tell you, keep it short. Keep it to one or two sentences. And if your text is good, we will read it on the air. Our text line is 504-260-9595. All right, coming up on the show, I still got the dumbest thing I read all morning. And I also, did you see what happened at Covington High School here on the North Shore? It made national news. It was in the New York Post. The 18-year-old Covington High School senior, the female student who beat the crap out of her 64-year-old female disabled teacher, and someone video recorded it because they were waiting for it to happen. Did you see that? And they're all saying it's part of the latest TikTok challenge where people slap their teachers. We were going to talk about that TikTok challenge anyways, but we have a local version of it here. And they're not 100% sure it was part of the TikTok challenge. But in my opinion, I think you could say it was part of that because someone was video recording it. They were waiting for it to happen. You know, that person should get in trouble just like the 18-year-old Covington High School senior who got arrested. That's coming up. We still got a lot of stuff we got to get to. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. I miss Tom Petty. I miss Tom. Tom Petty. Good morning. J.O. here with you. So there's a there's a reality television show called Jailbirds that is set in the New Orleans jail, but it's in the female section of the jail. But there's a problem. There's a bunch of people who think it's wrong that they're doing that here in the New Orleans jail. When Netflix announced last month that a new season of its gritty reality series, Jailbirds, would feature female detainees in the New Orleans jail, local criminal justice reform groups and some attorneys ripped Orleans Parish Sheriff Marlon Gusman for letting it happen. They pointed to previous seasons of the show filmed in Sacramento, where lawyers and detainees said producers and jail deputies allowed fights to take place, informed detainees that they wouldn't get in trouble for rule violations caught on film, and let them incriminate themselves in their pending criminal trials without a lawyer present. But wouldn't that be an entertaining reality television show to watch? Female prisons, female jails, watching females in jail.
I don't know. I've seen some of the females that go to jail. They're not. The ones on Pornhub look a lot better. I don't know if you've seen these. If you go to Pornhub, they got some female prison scenes. Now, those are awesome, but those aren't reality shows. Those are good shows.
Well, I've always been a big fan of prison movies. The Shawshank Redemption is one of the best movies ever made. And I've always really been a fan of female prison movies. They don't have as many good ones that have attained the status of Shawshank Redemption or Cool Hand Luke. The more I think about it, Shawshank Redemption and Cool Hand Luke are probably the two greatest prison movies ever made.
Not a lot of hot women in those movies, though.
No, not in those two. Those are men's prison movies.
From a criminal justice perspective, I'm going to have to go with the lawyers on this one, because if these women are put in a position to where they incriminate themselves for certain things just for the entertainment of us, yeah, I can see how that could be morally deficient. Like, if they are allowing these women to fight, if they are allowing these women to break rules and do all this just so we can, you know, sit at home on our couches and go, wow, this is pretty entertaining. Yeah, maybe it's not a good thing that we film this Jailbird show. As entertaining as it can be, I get the point.
Well, look, the Orleans Parish Sheriff's Office seemed to brush off those criticisms, Coleman, last month, prior to the show's release. Orleans Parish Sheriff Marlon Gusman, according to people involved in this, stood by the decision, and the production company agreed to strict legal terms and conditions to ensure that production crews did not interfere with the well-being of the staff of the Orleans Parish prison jail staff. So they're saying that they weren't going to let illegal things happen.
Uh-huh. You know, everything changes once the cameras start rolling, right? We all know by how reality shows are made, and there are some fabrications, there are some trick editing involved. Like the end product is not going to be what's actually filmed. That's how shows are made. It's going to be for ratings and entertainment. Now, are they saying, hey, we want this show to be produced sort of like Scared Straight, where we want to show people how bad it is as an incentive not to go to jail? Or is it strictly for entertainment, ratings, something for us to do, something for us to watch?
They filmed this last year in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, the Orleans Parish Sheriff's crew, they said that they weren't going to let the things that these people were complaining about happen. And I know reality television shows aren't really reality. I mean, those Kardashians, a bunch of that stuff was scripted. And you're right, Coleman, when you say things change when the cameras are rolling, that's a fact. All you got to do is look at social media. Just look at Facebook, look at Twitter, look at people. Many times, you know, when you're watching a video, that those people aren't really like that. That's not how they live their lives. But they're doing it to get clicks, to get likes, to get views.
And here's another legal precedent. Since these women are in prison, do they have a right to consent to be on camera or not? Or has their right to consent to be on camera have been violated since they are arrested?
Do you lose most of your rights when you go to jail? When you go to jail, you lose most your rights.
You're going to have these women in prison, probably can't consent to be on television or not. And they're going to be a part of this production, probably change character when the camera's on because now they're nervous and anxious, probably say something stupid and probably pressured to put in situations where they have to act a certain way while the cameras are rolling. Once again, what is the point of the show? Is it for strictly entertainment or is it an educational documentary? Like, what? I've never seen an original, so it...
You've never seen Jailbirds?
No, I've never seen Jailbirds. Just the name of it makes it seem it's not going to be like a hard-hitting documentary to show the tragedies and the incentives not to go to prison. Jailbirds sounds like, hey, check out this prison show.
They want to show what life is like in a jail.
For entertainment or education. Why? What I'm asking is the tone of the show. Is the tone more like, wow, look at all these people in jail and how wild they are? Or is the tone like, hey, watch out, this could happen to you. Don't get, you know, like, what's the
Netflix
tone?
Dude, Netflix is making it, and they're putting it on Netflix.
Yeah, it's going to be like the Tiger King then. This is a bad idea. If it's going to be like the Tiger King, I'm not for it. I'm not with this idea.
And there's one other issue. A lawyer for the Orleans Parish Sheriff's Office said that the production of this show was not related in any way to the federal consent decree that the New Orleans jail has been operating under for the last 8 years due to violence, inadequate medical and mental health care, and insufficient staffing.
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and stick to my scripted Pornhub prison movies.
So I wanted to ask you, if you're listening, do you have a problem with a production crew going into the female section of the Orleans Parish prison, the OPP? The new and improved, the 2.0 New Orleans jail, the female section. Do you have a problem with a production crew going in there and filming stuff for a reality television show called Jailbirds? Coleman seems to have an issue with it. I don't.
If they make it, they make it. I'm just not interested in watching it, and I can see the criminal justice lawyer's points, how this could be detrimental to the women in the prison.
Evidently, camera crews, the production crew was in there not that long ago, and they were thrown out. They got kicked out.
I guess my fear is when we, if this show airs, the jailbirds is going to dehumanize the women in the prison. Like, we're going to look at them as less than human. They don't have the same, you know, civility, or, you know, it's going to look like they're going to be portrayed as these outcasts instead of actual human beings.
Well, they're in jail.
Yeah, so they're still humans at the end of the day. Yeah, they probably have done something wrong. But if we're going to sit there and watch them and scold them, say, "Hi, that's what you get. You're not one of us. You're a ratchet. You're banished from society." If the purpose of the show is to dehumanize people who are already in jail, yeah, I don't really feel cool about that.
So you think that they're going to dehumanize people for entertainment value?
Yes. If you look at what's hot on, especially if Netflix right now, a couple of years ago, the biggest show was The Tiger King, where everybody laughed at these weirdos. And now the biggest show is The Squid Game.
Yeah.
It's this show about people who are put in these positions where they're dehumanized because they're the lowest of society, and they play these weird games for our entertainment. Like, if that's what the jailbirds is going to be like, nah, I'm not feeling it. Blair says it's a comedy. Is that a sex? Says Pornhub is a sin. Yes, it is.
Well, aren't we all sinners, Texter? That Coleman is just showing you the way he sins. That's all he's doing. Let us know how you feel. Text us. Do you have a problem with this, like Coleman does? Or do you think like me? Hey, if they want to. As long as the Orleans Parish Sheriff's officials are keeping an eye on the production, why don't you make the reality female jail show Jailbirds about the New Orleans jail? Why don't you? Text us, 504-260-9595. Again, keep your text short, one or two sentences. If it's good, we'll read it coming up next on the show. Please never text while you're driving. And do you agree with me? The greatest prison movies ever made were The Shawshank Redemption and Cool Hand Luke. If not, tell me one that you think is better.
The one with Pam Grier.
Which one's that?
I forget the name. I just know Pam Grier was in it.
Yeah, and I think it's time for an epic female prison movie that can challenge Shawshank Redemption and Cool Hand Luke when it comes to greatest prison movies ever made. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. If you're just joining us, I was talking about a new reality television show on Netflix called Jailbirds, and they were filming in the New Orleans jail here, the women's jail, the female jail. And the Orleans Parish Sheriff's Office gave Netflix and a production crew the okay to video record in there for the TV show. And a bunch of people are complaining about it because they said when they did this in other jails, they let the prisoners fight, and they let them do some things that weren't right, all for, I guess, the enjoyment of the television viewer. And just the other day, even though they defended the series set in the New Orleans jail, the Orleans Parish Sheriff's Office kicked out the Jailbirds film crew. I don't know what was going on, but I didn't have any issues with this because I like prison shows and jail shows. Prison movies are some of my favorite. As a matter of fact, I said the Shawshank Redemption and Cool Hand Luke are the two best prison movies ever made, in my opinion. And I asked you to text us. Do you agree with that? And do you have an issue with this Netflix show being set in the New Orleans female jail?
Paul says, I'm a production assistant here in New Orleans. I'd say 20% of reality shows is scripted, and I think it's ridiculous that they're exploiting these women in jail.
Huh.
This text says, the best female prison movies do sex. I agree with that.
Let me go back to what your first texter, Paul, said.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're watching a reality show about females in prison, men in prison, female in jail, whatever the case may be, wouldn't that, if you're sitting on your couch watching that show, wouldn't that show keep reminding you, that's a place I don't want to end up. I'm going to keep living a good life because I don't want to end up in jail.
Well, it depends on the tone of the show. Just like Ricky says here, sometimes I watch those shows to make me feel better about my life. And you forgot the Green Mile. So think about the Jerry Springer effect. So is the tone going to be like Jerry Springer, or Honey Boo Boo, or Tiger King, where we're looking at these people and we're like, wow, look at these crazy people. Look, if the show is going to be designed to dehumanize them like Ricky said, to make him feel better about his life, to make us feel entertained that we're not one of these scoundrels. No, but if the tone is more educational, like going through the actual rehabilitation process, how the correctional officers go about reforming these women, I'm for the educational side of it. But if it's just for entertainment and for us to go, wow, look at these wild people, like a Jerry Springer show, no, I don't think that's cool.
But the Coleman, the educational part of it isn't as entertaining as
yeah,
as it could be.
Make a fake one. This one says, I think Jailbird's documentary will end up making people want to go to jail so they could be on reality TV.
You know, and to that other texter who said, don't forget about the Green Mile when it comes to prison movies, that's a good movie. I don't think I would put it as good as Shawshank Redemption or Cool Hand Luke, though.
Yeah, we got a lot for Burt Reynolds, The Longest Yard, and really a lot for Life with Eddie Murphy and Martin Lawrence. A lot of people say Life is the greatest.
The Longest Yard is in the discussion.
Yeah.
The Burt Reynolds version, not the Adam Sandler version.
Yeah. Which is actually my favorite Adam Sandler movie, and I'm not really an Adam Sandler fan. This text says, they lost their rights when they were convicted. I'm talking about the women, because I asked them.
Yeah, we were talking about earlier, what rights do you have when you go to jail? You don't have as many as you have when you're outside of jail, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, but wouldn't that suck? Here you are, you're paying your dues to society, you're trying to do it, you're trying to just get through your time, get through your bid, and all of a sudden, now they're going to stick a camera in your face and watch, so everybody can watch you suffer. That's crazy. This text said, if you don't want to be viewed in a negative light, obey the law and stay your butt out of jail. Right? And this one says, no, when I was in there, I wouldn't want to be filmed. That's not cool.
I have nightmares about the Orleans Parish Prison. Even the Orleans Parish Prison 2.0. I have nightmares about it. It looks a lot nicer on the outside, but
I have fantasies of being locked and handcuffed with women, but not the ones from prison, but the ones from the prison videos that I watch on Pornhub.
Thank you for the text. We always appreciate them. Coming up next, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlin with you. And it's time for me to tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. Zebras escape from pumpkin farm, cause traffic jam. Imagine if I was stuck in traffic and I'm wondering why. Oh, the zebras? Did they escape from a pumpkin farm?
You would think pumpkins would escape from a pumpkin farm. What are zebras doing in a pumpkin farm?
Evidently, zebras like pumpkins, Coleman.
Huh.
This happened outside of Chicago in a town called Pingree Grove, Illinois. Two zebras that escaped from a suburban Chicago pumpkin farm had travelers on a state highway doing double takes as the exotic animals hit the road during their brief taste of freedom. The young male and female zebras escaped from a pen inside an indoor zoo at Gobert's Pumpkin Patch and Apple Orchard in Pingree Grove, Illinois. They crossed Route 47 several times and wandered through farm fields in the northwest Chicago suburb. Illinois State Police were called due to the ensuing chase being near Interstate 90. Other police agencies also joined the pursuit of the striped escapees.
Well, that's the cool thing about it. Let's say the law enforcement did apprehend the zebras. Well, they're already in stripes when you book them, so you don't have to give them a prison uniform, see?
Hmm.
What the hell were they doing at a pumpkin seed apple patch? What the hell was this again?
They were at Gobert's Pumpkin Patch and Apple Orchard.
Hey, come and get your pumpkins and apples. And by the way, look, zebras.
Yeah, they got zebras in a cage. And they escaped the cage and they messed up traffic.
Because when you think Illinois, you think zebras, pumpkins, and apples.
Illinois State Police were called. A passenger in a car filmed the animals running into a field, posted that video on TikTok.
Of course.
And in the video, the person who video recorded this said, quote, "They look like zebras. They got stripes. They are." I guess people outside of Chicago aren't used to seeing zebras running down the street.
No, they're not used to seeing zebras.
Well, the zebras were the first ones to slow down traffic, but then when the cops showed up, the police blocked traffic several times because they didn't want one of the zebras to get hit by a car.
It's funny how zebras, their anatomy is so similar to a horse, but yet people don't ride zebras. Like, you never see zebras in a race with a saddle on and with the horseshoes and nothing like that. I wonder why, even though they look just like horses, just with stripes.
After about 2 hours, Coleman, workers with the pumpkin patch and the zoo tracked down the animals on all-terrain vehicles and captured both zebras. The zebras, which are supplied to the pumpkin patch by another business, were not injured during the pursuit. Pretty exciting for a while.
It's cool how the zebras stuck with each other instead of splitting and going their separate ways after they escaped.
Well, they probably looked around and said, "I don't see anybody else like that looks like us. We should stick together. There's powers in numbers."
Yeah, well, I guess a zebra can't change its stripes.
But again, if that would be cool to see. It would stink if I got stuck in the traffic. And wait a minute. What's causing this traffic? Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. I miss Tom Petty. I miss Tom Petty. Good morning. J.O. here with you. So there's a reality television show called Jailbirds that is set in the New Orleans jail, but it's in the female section of the jail. But there's a problem. There's a bunch of people who think it's wrong that they're doing that here in the New Orleans jail. When Netflix announced last month that a new season of its gritty reality series, Jailbirds, would feature female detainees in the New Orleans jail, local criminal justice reform groups and some attorneys ripped Orleans Parish Sheriff Marlon Gussman for letting it happen. They pointed to previous seasons of the show filmed in Sacramento, where lawyers and detainees said producers and jail deputies allowed fights to take place, informed detainees that they wouldn't get in trouble for rule violations caught on film, and let them incriminate themselves in their pending criminal trials without a lawyer present. But wouldn't that be an entertaining reality television show to watch? Female prisons, female jails, watching females in jail.
I don't know. I've seen some of the females that go to jail. They're not... The ones on Pornhub look a lot better. I don't know if you've seen these. If you go to Pornhub, they got some female prison scenes. Now, those are awesome, but those aren't reality shows. Those are good shows.
Well, I've always been a big fan of prison movies. The Shawshank Redemption is one of the best movies ever made. And I've always really been a fan of female prison movies. They don't have as many good ones that have attained the status of Shawshank Redemption or Cool Hand Luke.
Yeah, I mean,
the more I think about it, Shawshank Redemption and Cool Hand Luke are probably the two greatest prison movies ever made.
Not a lot of hot women in those movies, though.
No, not in those two. Those are men's prison movies.
From a criminal justice perspective, I'm going to have to go with the lawyers on this one because if these women are put in a position to where they incriminate themselves for certain things just for the entertainment of us, yeah, I can see how that could be morally deficient. Like if they are allowing these women to fight, if they are allowing these women to break rules and do all this just so we can, you know, sit at home on our couches and go, wow, this is pretty entertaining. Yeah, maybe it's not a good thing that we film this jailbird show. As entertaining as it can be, I get the point.
Well, look, the Orleans Parish Sheriff's Office seemed to brush off those criticisms, Coleman, last month, prior to the show's release. Orleans Parish Sheriff Marlon Gussman, according to people involved in this, stood by the decision, and the production company agreed to strict legal terms and conditions to ensure that production crews did not interfere with the well-being of the staff of the Orleans Parish prison jail staff. So they're saying that they weren't going to let illegal things happen.
Uh-huh. You know, everything changes once the cameras start rolling, right? We all know how reality shows are made, and yeah, there are some fabrications, there are some trick editing involved. Like the end product is not going to be what's actually filmed. That's how shows are made. It's going to be for ratings and entertainment. Now, are they saying, hey, we want this show to be produced sort of like Scared Straight, where we want to show people how bad it is as an incentive not to go to jail, or is it strictly for entertainment, ratings, something for us to do, something for us to watch?
They filmed this last year in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, the Orleans Parish Sheriff's crew, they said that they weren't going to let the things that these people were complaining about happen. And I know reality television shows aren't really reality. I mean, those Kardashians, a bunch of that stuff was scripted. And you're right, Coleman, when you say things change when the cameras are rolling, that's a fact. All you got to do is look at social media. Just look at Facebook, look at Twitter, look at people. Many times, you know, when you're watching a video, that those people aren't really like that. That's not how they live their lives. But they're doing it to get clicks, to get likes, to get views.
And here's another legal precedent. Since these women are in prison, do they have a right to consent to be on camera or not? Or has their right to consent to be on camera have been violated since they are arrested?
Dude, you lose most of your rights when you go to jail. When you go to jail, you lose most of your rights.
You're going to have these women in prison, probably can't consent to be on television or not. And they're going to be a part of this production, probably change character when the camera's on because now they're nervous and anxious, probably say something stupid and probably pressure to put in situations where they have to act a certain way while the cameras are rolling. Once again, what is the point of the show? Is it for strictly entertainment, or is it an educational documentary? Like, what? I've never seen the original, so it...
You've never seen Jailbirds?
No, I've never seen Jailbirds. Just the name of it makes it seem it's not going to be like a hard-hitting documentary to show the tragedies and the incentives not to go to prison. Jailbirds sounds like, hey, check out this prison show.
They want to show what life is like in a jail.
For entertainment or education. Why? What I'm asking is the tone of the show. Is the tone more like, wow, look at all these people in jail and how wild they are? Or is the tone like, hey, watch out, this could happen to you. Don't get, you know, like,
what's the Netflix tone? Netflix is making it, and they're putting it on Netflix.
Yeah, so it's going to be like the Tiger King then. I'm not. Yeah, this is a bad idea. If it's going to be like the Tiger King, I'm not for it. I'm not with this idea.
And there's one other issue. A lawyer for the Orleans Parish Sheriff's Office said that the production of this show was not related in any way to the federal consent decree that the New Orleans jail has been operating under for the last 8 years. Due to violence, inadequate medical and mental health care, and insufficient staffing.
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and stick to my scripted Pornhub prison movies.
So I wanted to ask you, if you're listening, do you have a problem with a production crew going into the female section of the Orleans Parish prison, the OPP, the new and improved, the 2.0 New Orleans jail, the female section. Do you have a problem with a production crew going in there and filming stuff for a reality television show called Jailbirds? Coleman seems to have an issue with it. I don't.
If they make it, they make it. I'm just not interested in watching it, and I can see the criminal justice lawyer's points about how this could be detrimental to the women in the prison.
Evidently, camera crews, the production crew was in there not that long ago, and they were thrown out. They got kicked out.
I guess my fear is if this show airs, the Jailbirds, is going to dehumanize the women in the prison. Like, we're going to look at them as less than human. They don't have the same civility, or it's going to look like they're going to be portrayed as these outcasts instead of actual human beings.
Well, they're in jail.
Yeah, so they're still humans at the end of the day. Yes, they probably have done something wrong, but if we're going to sit there and watch them and scold them, say, "Hi, that's what you get. You're not one of us. You're a ratchet. You're banished from society." If the purpose of the show is to dehumanize people who are already in jail, yeah, I don't really feel cool about that.
So you think that they're going to dehumanize the people for entertainment value?
Yes. If you look at what's hot on, especially if Netflix right now, a couple years ago, the biggest show was The Tiger King, where everybody laughed at these weirdos. And now the biggest show is The Squid Game.
Yeah.
It's this show about people who are put in these positions where they're dehumanized because they're the lowest of society, and they play these weird games for our entertainment. Like, if that's what the Jailbirds is going to be like, nah, I'm not feeling it. Blair says it's a comedy. Zeta Sex says Pornhub is a sin. Yes, it is.
Well, aren't we all sinners, Texter? That Coleman is just showing you the way he sins. That's all he's doing. Let us know how you feel. Text us. Do you have a problem with this, like Coleman does? Or do you think, like me, hey, if they want to... As long as the Orleans Parish Sheriff's officials are keeping an eye on the production, why don't you make the reality female jail show Jailbirds about the New Orleans jail? Why don't you? Text us, 504-260-9595. Again, keep your text short, one or two sentences. If it's good, we'll read it coming up next on the show. Please never text while you're driving. And do you agree with me? The greatest prison movies ever made were The Shawshank Redemption and Cool Hand Luke. If not, tell me one that you think is better.
The one with Pam Grier.
Which one's that?
I forget the name. I just know Pam Grier was in it.
Yeah, and I think it's time for an epic female prison movie that can challenge Shawshank Redemption and Cool Hand Luke when it comes to greatest prison movies ever made. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. If you're just joining us, I was talking about a new reality television show on Netflix called Jailbirds, and they were filming in the New Orleans jail here, the women's jail, the female jail. And the Orleans Parish Sheriff's Office gave Netflix and a production crew the okay to video record in there for the TV show. And a bunch of people are complaining about it because they said when they did this in other jails, they let the prisoners fight, and they let them do some things that weren't right, all for, I guess, the enjoyment of the television viewer. And just the other day, even though they defended the series set in the New Orleans jail, the Orleans Parish Sheriff's Office kicked out the Jailbirds film crew. I don't know what was going on, but I didn't have any issues with this because I like prison shows and jail shows. Prison movies are some of my favorite. As a matter of fact, I said the Shawshank Redemption and Cool Hand Luke are the two best prison movies ever made, in my opinion. And I asked you to text us. Do you agree with that? And do you have an issue with this Netflix show being set in the New Orleans female jail?
Paul says, I'm a production assistant here in New Orleans. I'd say 20% of reality shows is scripted. And I think it's ridiculous that they're exploiting these women in jail.
Huh.
This text says, the best female prison movies do sex. I agree with that.
Well, let me go back to what your first texter, Paul, said.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're watching a reality show about females in prison, men in prison, female in jail, whatever the case may be, wouldn't that, if you're sitting on your couch watching that show, wouldn't that show keep reminding you, that's a place I don't want to end up. I'm going to keep living a good life because I don't want to end up in jail.
Well, it depends on the tone of the show. Just like Ricky says here, sometimes I watch those shows to make me feel better about my life. And you forgot the Green Mile. So think about the Jerry Springer effect. So is the tone going to be like Jerry Springer or Honey Boo Boo or Tiger King, where we're looking at these people and we're like, wow, look at these crazy people. Look, if the show is going to be designed to dehumanize them like Ricky said, to make him feel better about his life, to make us feel entertained that we're not one of these scoundrels. No, but if the tone is more educational, like going through the actual rehabilitation process, how the correctional officers go about, reforming these women, I'm for the educational side of it. But if it's just for entertainment and for us to go, wow, look at these wild people, like a Jerry Springer show, no, I don't think that's cool.
But Coleman, the educational part of it isn't as entertaining as,
yeah,
as it could be.
Make a fake one. This one says, I think Jailbirds documentary will end up making people want to go to jail so they could be on reality TV.
You know, and to that other texter who said, don't forget about the Green Mile when it comes to prison movies, that's a good movie. I don't think I would put it as good as Shawshank Redemption or Cool Hand Luke, though.
Yeah, we got a lot for Burt Reynolds, The Longest Yard, and really a lot for Life with Eddie Murphy and Martin Lawrence. A lot of people say Life is the greatest.
The Longest Yard is in the discussion.
Yeah.
The Burt Reynolds version, not the Adam Sandler version.
Yeah, yeah. Which is actually my favorite Adam Sandler movie, and I'm not really an Adam Sandler fan. This text says, they lost their rights when they were convicted. I'm talking about the women, because I asked them.
Yeah, we were talking about earlier, what rights do you have when you go to jail? You don't have as many as you have when you're outside of jail, I'll tell you that.
Yeah,
much.
But wouldn't that suck? Here you are, you're paying your dues to society, you're trying to just get through your time, get through your bid, and all of a sudden, now they're going to stick a camera in your face and watch, so everybody can watch you suffer. That's crazy. This text said, if you don't want to be viewed in a negative light, obey the law and stay your butt out of jail. Right? And this one says, no, when I was in there, I wouldn't want to be filmed. That's not cool.
I have nightmares about the Orleans Parish Prison. Even the Orleans Parish Prison 2.0. I have nightmares about it. It looks a lot nicer on the outside, but
I mean, I have fantasies of being locked and handcuffed with women, but not the ones from prison, but the ones from the prison videos that I watch on Pornhub.
Thank you for the text. We always appreciate them. Coming up next, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlin with you. And it's time for me to tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. Zebras escape from pumpkin farm, cause traffic jam. Imagine if I was stuck in traffic and I'm wondering why. Oh, the zebras? Did they escape from a pumpkin farm?
You would think pumpkins would escape from a pumpkin farm. What are zebras doing in a pumpkin farm?
Evidently, zebras like pumpkins, Coleman.
Huh.
This happened outside of Chicago in a town called Pingree Grove, Illinois. Two zebras that escaped from a suburban Chicago pumpkin farm had travelers on a state highway doing double takes as the exotic animals hit the road during their brief taste of freedom. The young male and female zebras escaped from a pen inside an indoor zoo at Gobert's Pumpkin Patch and Apple Orchard in Pingree Grove, Illinois. They crossed Route 47 several times and wandered through farm fields in the northwest Chicago suburb. Illinois State Police were called due to the ensuing chase being near Interstate 90. Other police agencies also joined the pursuit of the striped escapees.
Well, that's the cool thing about it. Let's say the law enforcement did apprehend the zebras. Well, they're already in stripes when you book them, so you don't have to give them a prison uniform, see? What the hell were they doing at a pumpkin seed apple patch? What the hell was this again?
They were at Gobert's Pumpkin Patch and Apple Orchard.
Hey, come and get your pumpkins and apples. And by the way, look, zebras.
Yeah, they got zebras in a cage. And they escaped the cage and they messed up traffic.
Because when you think Illinois, you think zebras, pumpkins, and apples.
Illinois State Police were called. A passenger in a car filmed the animals running into a field, posted that video on TikTok.
Of course.
And in the video, the person who video recorded this said, quote, "They look like zebras. They got stripes. They are." I guess people outside of Chicago aren't used to seeing zebras
no.
running down the street.
No, they're not used to seeing zebras.
Well, the zebras were the first ones to slow down traffic, but then when the cops showed up, the police blocked traffic several times because they didn't want one of the zebras to get hit by a car.
It's funny how zebras, their anatomy is so similar to a horse, but yet people don't ride zebras. Like, you never see zebras in a race with a saddle on and with the horseshoes and nothing like that. I wonder why, even though they look just like horses, just with stripes.
After about 2 hours, Coleman, workers with the pumpkin patch and the zoo tracked down the animals on all-terrain vehicles and captured both zebras. The zebras, which are supplied to the pumpkin patch by another business, were not injured during the pursuit. Pretty exciting for a while.
It's cool how the zebras stuck with each other instead of splitting and going their separate ways after they escaped.
Well, they probably looked around and said, I don't see anybody else like that looks like us. We should stick together. There's powers in numbers.
Yeah, well, I guess a zebra can't change its stripes.
But again, if that would be cool to see. It would stink if I got stuck in the traffic. And wait a minute. What's causing this traffic? A car didn't break down or blow up or anything like that. You're telling me zebras escaped from a pumpkin farm? That's why I'm stuck in this traffic right now?
Yeah, imagine explaining that to your boss because you're late for work. It was zebras.
Yeah.
Zebras in Illinois.
Those damn Chicago zebras. Anyways, zebras escaped from Illinois pumpkin farm, causing traffic jam. That's the dumbest thing I read all morning.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
May God have mercy on everyone's soul. From the John Osterlin Morning Show, here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.